Learn to make money online the right way. You're listening to the Create Profits Online Podcast with the dude that puts more glide in your stride, more pep in your step. And if you don't dig this mess, you got the wrong damn address. From the back of the shack, getting down to the nitty-gritty in the big city, here's your host, Todd Snively. And he's looking damn pretty. Let's go.
Yeah, you know what? I am looking damn pretty. And it is time to go because we have a very, very, very special guest today, Mr. Matt Basak. Matt's considered by many a digital marketing legend. In fact, he was voted Digital Marketing Legend of the Year in 2019 and again in 2020. He uses stealth marketing techniques, and doing so, he became a best-selling author with a fan base, a huge fan base of over 1.2 million people in his niche, as well as building multi-million dollar companies. After being crowned the 2010 Internet Marketer of the Year, he was asked to appear on national television. His Lifetime television segment focused on how to make money using the internet the real way. Matt's not only a sought-after internet marketer, but is also marketed for some of the world's top experts whose reputations would literally shrivel if their followers ever found out someone else coached them on their online marketing strategies. Matt and I are working on a very special project that I'll talk about at the end of the podcast, but for right now, please help me welcome Matt Basak.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Yeah, it's a real privilege to have you here, Matt. And you've had a fantastic career in internet marketing. And if we can start with just taking the clock back just a few years as to what you did before you became an internet marketer, I think our audience would love to hear that.
I'd have to go back more than a few years. what I did before as an internet marketer, I was pretty much doing it in college. So, I mean, back then, I mean, I was doing sales. I mean, I guess I had my own companies. So I've been running my own company since I was a kid, you know, and when I got started, we called it the information superhighway. So everything that we know today wasn't existing pretty much. There's really nothing that was around back then when it maybe AOL, if that's even around. So there's not much, initially, what was I doing? I was just a kid that wanted to make a lot of money. I mean, really in my dorm room.
From all of the people I've spoken to, people don't just wake up and decide they're going to start selling stuff on the internet or become an internet marketer. What was it that caused you to get the idea to start, I don't know, selling online?
So I was going out, knocking on doors and trying to get people to buy stuff. And it was a pain in the butt. So instead of me chasing people down, I figured I wanted people just to come to me. And that's kind of was the big thing. I was like, if I can just get people to come to me instead of me chasing them down, that would be a great scenario. And that kind of caused me to start looking at this internet thing and get started doing stuff.
Wow, man, when I hear people knocking on doors to sell stuff, I keep thinking about the poor Encyclopedia Britannica guy who had to lug around those heavy books. But all right, so you're knocking on doors. Were you selling hard products or was it some kind of information like encyclopedias? What were you selling?
Yeah, I did. I sold cassettes. Information, yes, but on cassette tapes, on VHS tapes, you know, so, you know, all of that, that was before the DVD, and now actually DVDs are going obsolete. So I'm actually seeing the next wave of things being obsolete where stuff we were selling with information, but I was selling other people's information, not my own. And actually it was Kiyosaki stuff. I mean, right when he was getting started. So I mean, I sold books and I sold, you know, just hard stuff.
Oh yeah, man. I even remember, I'm old enough to remember that when somebody would knock on the door selling something, they were giving you a free gift to keep your attention. Say, hey, just listen to my, let me in, right? Listen to my spiel and I'm going to leave you with a free this, that, or the other thing. So what's your line of thought about this ethical bribe with internet marketing nowadays? You know, we see people giving free lead magnets and then we see people charging for initially for information, usually a small amount, you know, to keep that door open, if you will. But, you know, everybody starts with no list, right? And everybody says the money's in the list. And we've all got to start with the first name, right? The first opt-in, a small list and build from there. But what's your thoughts on the best way to do that?
Well, I think for a lot of people that are listening, I mean, just to speak to them, I think there's really two ways we could do it. One, you know, creating some, you know, creating, giving somebody an ethical bribe or something, you know, for free is always a great way to get people on your list. But I will say, over my years, I would always tell people that. Today, I would tell people, really, you have, I think you have two choices. And actually, this latter, this new choice is a better choice, I would believe, for everybody. Is instead of giving something away for free, you might want to create it and make it a lower ticket product and have people opt in with their credit card so you can actually buy, so you can actually build a buyer's list. And that's going to be the best list you can ever build. You know, you could build 100,000 people or 10,000 people, you know, from 10,000 people giving away stuff for free, or you can buy, get 1,000 people that bought something for you, even if it's a dollar. You know, that's going to be so much better than the 10,000. So, you know, so my point to a lot of people is you can go one of either route. Just realize, you know, all subscribers aren't equal, but the best buyers you can ever get are the ones that opt in with their credit card. Now, a lot of times today, you know, people will say, put an opt-in page up, drive traffic to the page, have people sign up, give them something for free. And that's what I've taught forever. But today I tell people, literally, you have two routes and it's which route do you want to go? I prefer the newer route. You know, and I didn't think about that before, but more and more I start analyzing data, more and more I start looking at things, the more and more I realize the power of somebody opting with a credit card is so much bigger than the power of somebody just looking, because you get tire kickers, plate lickers, you know, you get all these, you know, and the thing is you get complaints, more complaints. Somebody that gave you your credit card, now you have more, you know, even they have bigger commitment, but also you have, you know, more backup to say, hey, look, you did, you bought this, instead of, hey, you opted in, you know, because today people do some crazy stuff with opt-ins. But buying is a good gate to, or a good hurdle, you know, that people can jump over to really prove, you know, to show you that, that one, they're interested in, two, you know, it's going to make your list more powerful than, and more responsive than anything else you could do.
Okay. So if I'm hearing you correctly, a good starting point for a new internet marketer, or anybody really just starting out trying to build a list or rebuild a list, is to try and find something that you can sell for $1, $5, $7 that's going to really catch people's attention. And you can really catch people's attention with something of high value or a high perceived value. Is that right?
High value. And now it's just according to how you want to price that. I mean, because, you know, there are people who sell $2,000 products for a dollar. You know, I mean, that's a good, you know, that's a good opt. You're going to get a lot of opt-ins if you do something like that, not telling anybody to do it. But really, yeah, something of high quality, high value, you know, because the first impression is the most important thing, you know, for everybody. And if you do deliver something that's just, you know, they just paid, you know, $7 for something that's worth, you know, $500 or $100, they're like, oh my gosh, imagine what they're going to give me when I give them more money.
All right. I mean, I could not agree more. The definite thing to remember is not only do you have high value information, but the low cost to get it. And it's not like to hook people in, but nowadays we got to stop people, get their attention. And you can do that with high value information that doesn't cost a lot. Because remember, we're trying to kindle that sense of not indebtedness so much. Well, maybe you could say indebtedness, but we're trying to get people to know, like, and trust us. And so if people are thinking, wow, you're really generous in giving us all of this stuff for next to nothing, well, that sometimes opens the door for the next transaction.
Well, and the loyalty and the, you know, and the trust factor. I mean, that's a big thing too. That's one thing that's underlining with all lists that we're ever going to build, is the biggest thing is when somebody comes in, especially the first time they meet you, you know, people talk about building rapport and that's great, but the best way to build the best rapport is to build trust. I think it's the, you know, everybody's like, oh, you want to build these relationships and build, you know, the best way to build a relationship is do what the heck you say you're going to do and do it better, you know, under promise and over deliver. You know, you're going to build so much more trust and so much more better relationship with that people. And the other thing too, for a lot of people, because I think, you know, I've made millions, multi-millions, you know, from email. And I will say, everybody's like, oh, you know, go out and, you know, build these, you know, once somebody signs up, send out the relationship things. I think it's great. And that's a good idea. And it does make people all excited and feel good about it. But the point is, how you train your list at the beginning is how they're going to treat you in the end. So my point is, if you do let them know, hey, I'm going to give you good value stuff, you know, you're here, I'm here to give you good value stuff. You know, it's going to change your life or whatever, you know, whatever feeling you have. But at the end of the day, if you train them, you give them free stuff, that's how they're going to, that's how they came in. That's how the relationship started. But if they came in with, hey, you know, I give you some money, you're going to give me something great, then they're going to always give you money to get something great.
Oh yeah, 1000%. No, I hear you. And this is an argument I've had with people, you know, every now and then over the year. It's like, if you market free stuff, you're only going to attract people that want free stuff. And I think that's true to an extent, but I don't think it's 100% siloed that way. I have a lot of people that come into my list from free lead magnets that once we get them through that process of knowing us and trusting us and liking us, then they're open to purchasing. I don't think there's a person out there that opts in for a free lead magnet that would never buy something from somebody. But I get your point. I completely understand that. Once somebody spent money with you, the odds that they're going to continue to spend with you go way up. Now, in terms of once somebody gets onto your list, Matt, do you email them every day, once a week, or just how often?
Well, that's really dependent on the individual, I think. So the most important thing for everybody listening is the decision you make at the beginning of the relationship. So if it's how you want to train them, like, it's not just training them, giving them good value to value, but if you're going to be sending emails every single day, then you better do it from the beginning. If you choose to send three times a week or once a week, you want to be careful with that, especially on once a week. Be very careful with that. If you train people, and I've seen this happen before with clients where they're like, you know what, I'm not going to mail every day like you do. Matt, what I'm going to do is I'm going to mail once a week. I'm going to mail every Wednesday. If you miss a Wednesday, they're going to get upset with you. If you change your behavior a little bit after they've been trained a certain way, it could cause some issues. So realize that when you are going on, it's how, you know, it's what you choose to do. Now, I will say this for everybody listening. I mean, there is such thing as an opportunity cost, right? And there's also another thing, two things really, is opportunity cost and subscribers expire. My point is twofold. One, let's go with the expiration, you know, thing is, so most people don't realize, depending on the market that people are in, like, you know, if for example, if you're building a list of people that are looking for a quick fix on something, maybe it's, you know, I usually tell people, look for bleeding necks. Like, somebody has a bleeding neck, they get it fixed, they don't need you anymore. So they're going to go away. And I'm using that as an example, but they're going to go away. So that the life of that is very short. Every market has, people don't realize this, but there is an expiration date. You know, the average subscriber is going to leave. Now, in, like, for example, the internet marketing space, we have 3 months. It's all we have. And, you know, a lot of times, and then there's going to be some people that stay around, but really people get inspired. People are like, oh, I want to go online, I want to go make money. And then within 3 months, after 3 months, the list will start, those subscribers will start dropping off, because it kind of, like, there's an expiration date. You know, you'll have the loyal ones that are always be around, and, you know, the continuously learners and stuff like that. But so that's something to take in consideration. Every market, every niche is different, and the expiration date is different, which brings me back to the first point of, you know, the concept of opportunity costs. So if we know we only have a 30-day or a 60-day or a 90-day window, you know, if we let it lapse too long, we're missing, there's huge opportunity costs. And every day that we don't mail is every day that we're going to miss out on money. Just like, you know, if anybody's ever stayed at a hotel, if that hotel does not get full or if the room doesn't get full that night, they missed out on the opportunity to fill it. So they're never going to get that. There's no way to go backwards to get that income. Well, every day, 24 hours, you know, I mean, there's a 24-hour window on that. So, you know, I've never said it that way, but it's really, you know, opportunity costs sometimes. But here's a third point to actually bring up that's really important for people to realize. The moment somebody actually does sign up is the moment they're the hottest, usually. The moment somebody buys from you is the moment they're the hottest. And I always, you know, jokingly say, when a buyer's in heat, and a buyer's in heat, you know, and so get them when they're in heat, kind of like dogs have windows of heat, not trying to compare people and dogs. But the point is, there's only a certain window of opportunity there. And if you let that window of opportunity disappear, you may never get it back. So the beginning of the relationship is really important, and even, you know, making things happen. I always tell people, like, heck, you know, one of the great, you know, great things to do is especially even in your first message, you know, if you promise them an X widget, give them X widget or X report or whatever it is. But then also in the PS say, hey, by the way, people who download this also buy this. Like, that's a sneaky little trick that anybody could do to instantly say, hey, you're here to get something for free, but I'm also here to make money. So you're kind of, you know, providing both things. And that's like, I mean, I stole that trick from Amazon, but my point is, Amazon does it all the time. But my big point is you've got to take advantage of the opportunity, because even at that first message, out of all messages, that first message is the most important message of everything, because that's the moment that, the first message is either the first message they get after they buy and the first message they get after they subscribe. Either one, it doesn't matter which people decide which way they're going to play. So when somebody buys, you know, then it's, hey, people who buy this also buy this, you know, or it's, hey, when somebody downloads this also, you know, buys this. That's a good way. But at that moment, they are looking for that email. At that moment, they're hot, they're hungry, and they're ready to go. And if you let the thing get cold, you know, cold off that, you know, that gets cold, then you're really losing out on an opportunity.
1000%. I mean, absolutely. When people are in that yes mode, they're easy to influence. And I hate using words like influence, but when people are in a buying mode, you should keep putting things in front of them that they should want to purchase, you know, the natural progression. And you're right. Amazon does that in a great way. I've been a seller on Amazon for a long time. I use it myself. We try to get our different products together on that. When people bought this, they also bought this page. And the amount of sales just goes up. It works because there's no real pressure and it's very subtle. And, you know, Matt, ever since I've been following you, I see that you're really, really good at finding that sweet spot and testing, you know, especially with that science of persuasion.
Well, sorry, the persuasion's one thing, testing's another. But, you know, early on when I first started, I always wanted to study. I'll say this, early on, I started realizing the people that were making more money than me really had three things. They're better copywriters or storytellers. They had big ticket items and they also had continuity. Those are the three things. And then the one commonality of all of them at the time was they all had email lists. So that's really kind of combined all four, three. But the point to answer your question is it comes back to the beginning. I studied copywriters. I studied them hard. I still do. Actually, it's only events I actually go to attend. I speak at a lot of events, but when I go to attend, when it's about copywriting. I never will stop learning that skill. Even though I just created a product about it. But I say that because I will never stop learning that. I can always get better and better when it comes to copy, because I know it's the one thing you could take everything away from me. I can just write some copy and I could write my way out. Like kind of like the Beatles. There was an old saying, I think it was like with the Beatles, like, hey, we'll just write ourselves a new swimming pool. You know, I could write myself a new plane. I've done it before. I really bought a plane because I wrote some copy. And of course I used it, but with good copy, you can create great sales. So the persuasion was something that I realized and I studied early on, and I'm continuously studying. But the testing came at a different time. It was probably, I mean, I've been doing this for 20 something, 22, 25 years. Halfway through this span of my life, the marketing, internet marketing side of my life, I will probably say it's in the middle. And it was when, you know, cause it wasn't always, things aren't always rosy, you know, it was in a down where, you know, I went through some stuff and pretty much everything kind of disappeared. I don't want to get in that story, but I will say that I started from scratch. I call it the recycle. So I recycled, and in the middle of the recycling, of my life or in my business, I was in a point where I didn't have money. I was at a point that, well, I did have credit. I did have credit cards. And I said, how am I going to squeeze as much as I can out of this? I knew I needed to build a list. I knew I needed to do this again. And how can I squeeze as much as I can? And there was only so much money I had to get traffic. And there was only so much traffic I could get, go to the page. So I was like, how can I squeeze more? And so I started testing. And when I started doing that, I started seeing that there was a radical difference in this. And I look back on my half of it, my 12 years before, and I said, if I would have only done this 12 years ago, I would be in a lot better place than I am today, or would have been a lot better place the whole time. So I started testing and testing and testing, and then it became a habit. And now I test every single day. I won't actually, if I don't test, I feel weird, just because it's so ingrained in me that I got to test, because the difference between 1% and 10%, the difference between, 10% and 30% is really big. You know, in fact, I've got one page right now that's doing about 89%. Now, people usually are happy with 30%. And so, the max is 100%, right? But, and I know I'll never get there, but I always aim for it, right? It's kind of like an ideal. So I'm always aiming to see how good I can get it to make things happen. But it happened at a point where it was kind of a, I had to do something. I had to do something, and I needed to get as turn lemons to lemonade even faster.
I'm going to say 1,000% that when I started marketing, the biggest mistake that I made was not doing A/B testing. And just to explain, Matt, for the benefit of anybody listening who may not know how split testing works, you can literally divide the traffic that's coming to your website to go to different versions of your landing page, for example. So you'll have in your page building software, you'll have a page on the left, maybe the control page, a page on the right, your variation page. You can determine the amount of traffic that's going to go to each of those pages, and then actually see what the conversions are. And whatever's converting better wins the A/B testing, and that becomes your new control. For whatever reason, I mean, we don't know why one color works better than another color, or an image might work better than another image. But once you determine the winner, you then try something else with a different variation. And I know it's a basic example, but that's pretty much how it works, right?
I mean, that's a good example from a basic example. Yeah, absolutely. And that's a big thing just to let everybody know is it doesn't matter what you're doing. Don't get emotionally attached to it, you can get emotionally attached to people, but you don't gonna get emotionally attached to pages, So I want to say that from a perspective of pages of page, it could be erased, it could be removed, it could be changed. And the point when people make the biggest mistakes in their career, I think, and the biggest mistakes, and even their bank account will show this, is the moment they're emotionally attached to something that they've created or something. Because the reason I bring that up is because through all my testing, and I've done over 8,000 email split test rounds, and what I think will work doesn't work, and what I think won't work does work. And I realize it's so counterintuitive. And I say that to a lot of people. But here's one thing I also want to say that I learned from split testing. If you don't do anything, you're never going to make anything happen anyway. So you got to do something, whether it's right or wrong, it doesn't matter. Because even if you're wrong, a lot of times just by doing, you're still right.
Yeah, no, honestly, I agree with that. And I tell people, they need to be doing something every single day to move themselves towards the goal. Because when you're actually out there doing something, things are going to happen. And the last thing I am is a perfectionist, right? I mean, it'd be great if we could do everything perfect, but that's just not how the world works, right? But, whether you're right or wrong, just like you said, just get out there and do something, and by the nature of the fact that you're doing something, you're going to be right. Yep. And I know that when I'm testing something, sometimes I get tied up with, this one did X amount percent better or whatever. That doesn't necessarily translate into money, right?
Well, real decisions based on this made me more money than that. But yeah.
I've always been surprised when I look at the numbers and realize, yes, this tested higher, but I actually made more money with it. So in that instance, I'm going to go with what made me more money. Matt, something else I wanted to ask about. I've been to your house near Atlanta, and it's absolutely beautiful. And people think that, you know, I get this a lot all the time. Hey, you're in your 60s, you know, you've done $200 million in revenue. Why don't you just retire? why are you still around, you know, trying to help people or sell digital products? And I kind of feel the same way about you. You're hugely successful. And I know what I would say, but, you know, some people might think when they reach our level, let's retire, let's give up now. And I know you're extremely generous and you like to pass your skills on. You want to see success in other people. So why do you keep going? What is it that drives you every day?
I don't really work. I love this stuff. So I love marketing. I love everything about it. I didn't really come to that conclusion until a couple of years ago. You know, it really, I do enjoy it so much. In fact, we had our 20 something year high school reunion, and somebody posted in our little group from all my friends from high school. We did it a couple years ago, but all kid friends from high school, they all posted, and somebody posted a picture of a newsletter from high school, and all the seniors at the time submitted in things like, what is their favorite class? And I wrote marketing. I didn't even know that back then. I fell in love with marketing way back then, and I did read a lot of marketing. I got a marketing degree. But I absolutely love everything about it. Understanding, you know, what gets people to tick. Because it's more also marketing is a piece of psychology and also math. And the cool thing is the math doesn't have to be calculus. It's a matter of, you know, did this make me more money than this? It's not that hard. You know, what number is bigger? This one put more money in my pocket. This one didn't. Therefore, there's the answer. So it's not that hard math, but it is. It is from there. So. But I love it. I mean, but for me too, is the fact that I do make, when I'm testing and I do stuff, it's a game to me. So every day I'm playing a new game with myself, to see if I can beat myself, see if I, you know, how smart I am to myself. And I don't care if I'm dumb, if I make a mistake or not, because I know in the end I'm going to win. So I always win the game no matter what, even though I might lose what I think is going to lose. So that's fun. And then, but for me too, is also, there's another side to it. It is, you know, being able to see others, watch others grow. I mean, I will tell you, like, the coolest thing that's happening for me right now, and I was just sharing this with somebody yesterday, like, people are going through my stuff. And I have a new thing at the EPC Institute, and people are going through my stuff. We get, on an average a week, we probably get 2 to 3 things sent to us as gifts. A non-solicitation, people are just sending us gifts. Actually, we just got somebody just sent me a $400 juicer. And it's like, thank you for everything. You know, and it's like, it's crazy. I just got a fountain pen. I just got somebody else sent me another. They know I write notes to my high-end clients. I write letters to them. So I got a high-end pen. I got an astronaut pen. I mean, people were sending me stuff, but that's, I don't care about that. But what I do care about is things I'm doing are changing people's lives. And that matters a lot to me. And I love it. And seeing more and more just the raving reviews that are coming back because of, you know, me just opening up and sharing my data and sharing what I know to be true. At this moment, because, you know, what I learned with my data is it might be true at this moment, but things could change. So, but what I know at this moment is it's really cool.
I feel the same way. And I tell people all the time, if I can't help somebody, if I'm not having a good time, then I won't be doing this anymore. Plain and simple. Now, help me address something that I get all the time. People say, oh, Todd, you've been doing this forever. The opportunities are different. Back when you started, you had an advantage back then, which I find real interesting because when I started, there was no internet. But, you know, some people might say that you hit the ground at just the right time, you know, and you built your business and maybe it's just not possible anymore. So for the benefit of those people who think, could I do the same thing that you've done? Can you still go on the internet and sell internet marketing and affiliate training? Can you still make really, really good, stupid money? Is that possible?
I think it's more possible than it was when I started. You know, just if you look around you on the market right now, you know, when I started, there was no such thing as an affiliate program. When I started, there was no really autoresponders. When I started, there was nothing we have today that was created by people like me. In the early days, like, there was no opt-in page. There was no Facebook. There was no Twitter. There was no, what else we got today? You know, there was none of that. You know, there was no YouTube, you know, there was nothing. And so I say that because we had to get really creative. You know, yes, we were, you know, some of us are early, you know, like me. But the thing is, the tools, the success stories, the models we can model today are so much better. I'm seeing, you know, when I remember, you know, early when I first started, if you just make $10,000, you know, a month, like people are like, oh my God, you're like, you know, it's amazing. Today, like, I'm seeing people just starting out going from nothing to making millions in a really smart, you know, short period of time. And the reason is because there's people that have, like me and others, that have gone before them and kind of paved the path and saying, hey, here's what to do. You know, just follow and model this. And people are doing it and doing it. They're following instruction. I think that's a real good thing. They're following the instruction properly. And, you know, they're just following instruction, really. And they're going out there. But with the tools and the leverage that we have today, oh, it's thousand times. I mean, the opportunities, you know, there's an unlimited amount of opportunity for everybody.
Yep. We're kind of beating the same drum. I tell people, back when I started in the 1980s, we had actual mail. You had to stick something in an envelope, put a stamp and an address on it, and drop it off at the post office. Now we have email. The concepts have stayed the same. It's the tools that have changed. So I know how I would answer this, but I want to hear your answer, Matt. What's the biggest thing that seems to trip up the new people at the very start of the progress towards success? What is it that undoes them? What do you see as the biggest fault that people have?
There's a couple that popped in my head, and I'll kind of list them out. I think one, they're overthinking and not following instruction. So it's like, oh, I think I'm smarter than them. So that's kind of all together as one. You know, it's like, no, like, look, follow instruction and just do it. And just, you know, I tell everybody, like, a lot of times, especially, and I hate to say this, but the more educated somebody is, the more they're looking for the reasons why things won't work. And instead of saying, hey, you know, having faith in the thing, you know, whatever they're doing, and saying, hey, this will work, I'm going to do whatever it takes to make it happen. Like, that type of person, and they come in with more of a, you know, we would call it in America, high school dropout, you know, attitude, where it's like, hey, you know, like, they're not, they just say, they tell you, you tell them, hey, behind that tree, dig up behind that tree right there, and you're going to find a pot of gold. They'll just go dig up behind that tree. You tell, you know, somebody else, you know, they'll go, you say, dig up. And I've seen this. I'm like, go over there and dig behind that tree. There's a pot of gold. And they'll run over, like, somewhere else. And you're like, it's right there behind the thing. So, you know, it's like, I mean, so it's following instruction, you know, and having faith, and, you know, and I think, you know, it's huge.
Well, Matt, it's been fantastic. Thank you so much for spending time with us today. You passed on a lot of great tips and gold nuggets for the Create Profits Online podcast. I hope people listen over and over and get every little bit of gold out of this episode. I thank you for your time and being with us. I know you have to go. Everybody else, though, stick around, because we've got a special thing to talk about, a project that I've been working on with Matt. And so, Matt, thank you so much.
Oh, yeah. No, thanks for having me.
All right, everybody. That was digital marketing legend Matt Basak. Now, Matt's got a book. It's called The Secret Email System. It's literally full of golden nuggets. I think you can tell from our interview, Matt knows his stuff, and his stuff, it's always really good, all right? So I talked Matt into discounting this book down to just $5.60, normally $37, okay? But for you guys, $5.60. Plus, I talked him into 10 amazing bonuses that have a real value, not inflated, a real value of around $1,645. So this is probably one of the biggest digital deals of the year. I don't want you to miss out on it. So go to emailmoneymastery.com/start. That's emailmoneymastery.com/start. Pick up this deal for $5.60 while it lasts. All right, everybody. Thank you again so much for spending time with us today. It's always my privilege to put these podcasts together, and hopefully you got something out of it. And remember to do something every single day to move yourself towards your goals. And today that would be going to emailmoneymastery.com/start. You guys take care now. Bye-bye.